The wisest thing a father can do is ask God to get involved. We've been walking through the book of Deuteronomy. We haven't gotten that far. Just to remind you, if you're a visitor with us today, Deuteronomy was a book written for the nation of Israel to literally tell them how to do life in the midst of this new land that God was giving them. It was literally also one of the books that every king of Israel was to have a copy of, and he would begin memorizing it. And it's an amazing idea that if they just learned the word of God and they began to put it into practice, the nation would be blessed and favored. So thus far in the first three chapters, we've learned that God is always active first and foremost. We have this idea in our culture and community that we are the one that pursues after God, yet the scripture clearly says that God is always the first mover and he is the one that pursues us. In fact, the whole nation of Israel is God pursuing us, the smallest, most ragtag group of people he could find to display his glory and honor on. We also have learned that God listens to the cry of his people. When we cry out in prayer, he stands and listens. In fact, we learned yesterday at the men's breakfast that God literally bends down to hear and respond. An amazing view and image of God. We learned thus far that God is faithful, he's steadfast, he's merciful, he's generous, he's kind, he is the Almighty One, he is the trustworthy provider, and he longs to give the best to his people. And he allows us even to live out the choices that we make. And so at this point in time, Moses is literally at that place where he's turning over leadership. He's giving the vision. He's casting the vision. He's reminding the people that they have a God who longs to give them the very best if they will hear and follow and obey. Let's pray. Father, we come before you. We thank you for this day. We thank you that you have a message for us this morning. And Lord, I ask that the meditations of my heart would be pleasing to you, and I ask that you would give us ears to hear, and I would become less and Jesus would become more, because we need you more than just another sermon, Lord. We need a message. Would you anoint this time and minister to our hearts and remove all of the confusion? In fact, we learned yesterday at men's breakfast that when we pray, we literally have the power to demolish the stronghold. So if there are any working within our hearts and minds this morning in the name of Christ, we ask that you would tear them down, that we would have a vision restored and a heart ready to listen and ears to hear and eyes to see. And we ask this all now in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'll turn in your Bibles to the fourth chapter, hear now, O Israel, the decrees and the laws that I am about to teach you. Follow them so that you may live and may go in and take possession of the land that the Lord your God of your fathers is giving you. Do not add to what I command you. Do not subtract from it, but keep the commands of the Lord your God that I give you. And so this is as far as we're going. I know in the bulletin it says chapter 4, 1 through 10. We're not even going to get through that. I tried to do it this morning and it just can't be done. So for the next few moments, I want you to recognize and see two things. First of all, I want you to realize that Moses once again is going back and telling them who their God is. He reminds them that it is the God that they worship that took them out of slavery and is about to give them this promised land that a generation has longed for, a place to call home. And then the second thing that he does is that he begins to let them know that God has a plan and a way for them to live that brings blessing and provision and protection, and it gives them the opportunity not simply to exist but to live well in this new place. And it comes down to three simple things at the very beginning. If the people will hear, if the people will follow, and if the people will obey. And because it's Father's Day, I'm going to pick on us just for a little bit. I know we shouldn't do that. But one of the things that I recognize as a man, and all of us are probably in this together, some of us have a hard time hearing things. And one of the interesting things that's been going on in my life is that Joyce has been saying for probably a year now, "You're not listening." And I just sort of look at her and say, "What'd you say?" It's how we've communicated back and forth. In fact, she said just the other day, "I think your favorite word is what?" Because it's just sort of how things work. And so I've actually gone to a hearing place. And I'm getting things some taken care of. And one of the interesting things, I don't know if I was reading it in the process or the ads, or I'm not even sure where I heard it, but I heard that most men go get their hearing checked because their wives tell them they can't hear anything. Isn't that an amazing idea and thought? In fact, apart from their wives telling them that, they will never go get their ears checked. But the interesting thing is, and I think the statistic is about 90% of them have no hearing loss whatsoever. They just don't listen anymore. And so as a guy, you need to recognize, and it's interesting that at the very beginning, as Moses passes them into the promised land, he begins with verse 1. Hear now. And let me go a little bit farther, because as I've been thinking about Moses and the people that he was talking with, I think we probably need to understand also that men and people in general were not necessarily really good at reading instructions, correct? I mean, how often have we tried to design things or make things or put things together for birthday parties, be it a bicycle or whatever the case may be, and we don't need no stinking directions, and we throw those off and we know what a bike looks like, right? And it takes hours and hours and hours. I remember in seminary, I was trying to save money working on our Honda, and I noticed there was a hole, and I ended up fixing it somehow. It actually made it worse, and when the guy put it up on the rack, he said, "Wow, this is going to cost you more now." I wasn't going to listen to instructions. And most of us sitting here today, we're also a culture and a people that we certainly don't like to be told what to do. How often have you heard, "Don't tell me what to do"? In fact, I know there's some of you here today that basically live on the premise if someone tells you what to do, you're going to do the very opposite thing. And I was thinking about when I was raising the boys, and you know, Ethan, you could speak to and he'd reason with and understand. With Jed, I finally got to the point where I'd say things like, "I bet you can't go to school today," because I knew he would go just to prove me wrong. Some of you are like that. So Moses wisely begins with a simple invitation, hear now. Just hear now the decrees and the laws that I am about to teach you. So like Moses, let me ask you all here today a simple question, an invitation to come in and be a part of the kingdom of God. Will you hear? And I'm not talking about noticing sound. I'm talking about choosing to hear. And I recognize every one of us, be it man or woman or child, we live in a day and age where we are overwhelmed with sound and words and information. And I think for most of us, if we're honest with ourselves, our hard drives are almost full. Isn't that the way it works? But Moses knows that hearing the message and the ways of God will impact how we experience life or not. And one of the interesting things that's been going on in my life is that I've been, for my quiet time and my study of the Bible, I've been going through the Old Testament. And one of the things that strikes me is you go through the Old Testament and you walk through some of those books, you hear the phrase over and over again, and the kings or the individuals or the nation did what was right in their own eyes. They basically looked at all of their circumstances and looked at all of their situations, and they just assumed that their view, their knowledge, their wisdom was enough, and they did whatever they felt was good. In fact, one of the amazing things is if you go through the list of kings in the nation of Israel, some of them were tremendous followers of God, but in the midst of crises, instead of trusting God, they would do their own thing, and there were cataclysmic situations that occurred. So I'm going to ask you again, will you hear today? Because when we do life on our own terms, in our own ways, with our own wisdom and our own experience, it literally leads us to a place where we live well below God's very best. It leads us to existing. It leads us to a place where we're a people that continually are working the angles, instead of trusting or hearing what God would have to say. So will you hear? And if you make that choice to hear, you're also making a choice that leads to follow. What does it say in the Word of God? Hear now, O Israel, the decrees and the laws that I'm about to teach you. Follow them. This is the second idea. Follow them so that you may live and go in and take possession of the land the Lord, the God of your fathers, is given to you. Not only did Moses look at the nation of Israel as I am today looking at you and saying to you, you not only need to be a people who hear, but you need to be a people who follow. Literally, the idea is there, you need to put into practice what God is telling you to do. The degrees and the laws need to be followed. And if you're going to be a great exegesis of the word, one of the things that you need to come up with is the whys of this. Why would God say, if you're going to live in the land, this new land that I'm giving you, you need to hear and you need to follow? Why would he say, I want you to follow this? For some of you, you have this idea of God that is so completely unscriptural, but that's the God you live with. You assume if he's telling you to do something, it must going to be an awful thing. I mean, I grew up in a home when we had a church family and we had missions. I mean, it's really interesting, this sort of on the side. You know, some of you, our missions conference went from Sunday to Sunday every single night. Can you imagine that? I get things now like, mission conference, it's Saturday night. Oh, my goodness. But I can remember people saying things like, you know what? If it was really weird because it's really, really unscriptural. You know, if you're bad, God's going to make you into a missionary. The assumption is God must have awful things in store for you. When I went to seminary, there was a saying, God loves you and must hate your wife. I mean, it was an interesting idea. You don't want to become a pastor's wife. Do you hear? Most of us have this image of God when he calls you to follow him and hear him and obey him. Most of us have this idea that he wants to mess with you or wreck you. Or financially destroy you, or make bad things happen to you, and you're going to suffer in silence. I know none of you would actually say that to me. But what does it say there? Follow them so that you may live. Did you hear that word? Follow them so that you may live and go in and take possession of the land the Lord God has given you. Follow them and live in such a way that this great blessing, this great gift of the promised land will become a joy and not a burden. So Moses is saying, if my people will hear and will follow as they begin to put into practice what they are hearing, we will be a people that learn to live. Have you noticed we live in a day and age in a culture where we do a whole lot more existing, but not as much living? We have more stuff and more things to do. I am dumbfounded at all the different amazing events that you can fill your time with or your kids' time with. We have more seasons. We're at the place now where we don't just want to play softball when it's nice out. We build things so you can do stuff all year long. We have more knowledge than ever before. If you don't know something, what do? Google it. Instant knowledge. It's there for everything. I forget what it was the other day. Oh, we were talking about our chickens, and a couple of them are broody, and they're not laying eggs, and they just sit on the hay because they think they're going to have chicks, and it doesn't happen. So Joy said, hey, let me Google that. This is what you need to do. You put frozen vegetables under them, and they'll stop being broody. Who knew you could get that type of knowledge? We haven't done it yet, but who knew? We have more knowledge and information and technology and freedom and abundance and safety in any other time of history. Not the truth. And in fact, just so you hear this, because you will never hear this on any news, do you realize we live in the safest time in all of world history right now? And in fact, this is way off topic, but it just strikes me so amazingly. Do you realize the rate of kids being kidnapped has not gone up since 1950? But all of us are fearful as parents. And we exist in that level. But God says, if you will hear and follow, you will begin to live. And this last vacation, it was really, really interesting because Joyce got a phone call from two different people. And I should say, none of you in the church were a part of this, because then you're going to be thinking, who would do something like that? Someone in the first service said, just, boy, there are a lot of ignorant people. But when we were on vacation, it was winding down, and we had two different phone calls. Two different people said, "So are you feeling sick yet?" We were like, Joyce said, like, "What do you mean?" We did have Mexican for lunch, but that wasn't anything to do with that. They said, "You know, in the pit of your stomach, are you feeling sick yet?" And Joyce said, finally said, "Well, why? Like, did something happen?" "No, but you're coming home again. Do you feel sick yet?" We live in a culture that we're existing. Moses says, if you'll follow my ways, if you'll listen to what God is trying to communicate to you today, you will live and just not exist. In fact, the language that he's trying to communicate here is that if you'll follow my ways as you enter into this new land, you will thrive with God's gifts and provision and seasons. Do you hear? Will you begin to hear enough that you begin to follow and put it into practice? Because there's the promise there. So will you hear God's message? Will you follow his way? And I love what Moses does here, because for some of us who have been raised in the church, when we think about the laws and decrees, man, we come up with an amazing list, don't we? And so that next step, he says, "I want you to hear," and then he says, "I want you to follow," and then he says, I want you to keep the commands." Literally, I want you to be a people that obey the commands. But I am so thankful that the Word of God says here, "Do not add to what I command to you, and do not subtract from it, but keep the commands the Lord your God that I will give you." I grew up in a Christian home. I grew up in a pastor's home where we had rules for everything. I mean, just the rules on Sunday was just tremendous. You had to smile, but you couldn't be happy, because church was a somber thing. I mean, it wasn't necessarily verbal commands, but we all sort of noticed what was going on. You cannot have fun on Sunday. In fact, one of the things I think it's my old age, I'm beginning to like T-shirts more, and I never had them growing up, but I came up on vacation, and it said, "Sunday is the fun day." And I was like, "Joyce!" And she went, "No." She said, "What are you going to do with that?" I said, "I'm going to wear it on Sunday morning." She goes, "They won't believe you." So it's still in Iraq someplace. But you couldn't have fun. I remember one, I snuck out of the house and was riding my bike, and my neighbor called my mom and said, "I thought you people were Christians and had standards. You're not supposed to ride the bike on the Sabbath." I never rode the bike again. You took naps, you were allowed to read. That was pretty much all the rules. And there were more. I could give you more. If all my siblings in here, we could come up with a herd more of them. But Moses says, don't add to them, and don't subtract to them. I mean, just imagine the challenge I want to give you for this summer, if you're going to be here, even if you're not. I'm going to ask you to skip ahead to chapter 5, and Moses basically gives the Ten Commandments and says, this is what I want you to do. I want you to follow them. But the challenge is, I want you to look them up, and I want you to begin to see them and see if there's any truth there. See, we have made the Ten Commandments this crazy idea that we need it on our courthouses and we need it on our government buildings, and I'm all for that stuff. But do you realize there's nothing sacred in ten lists of words unless they're followed and figured out? I will challenge you to take the commandments and begin to look at them and see if it leads to living well, or see if it leads to simply existing. See if there's wisdom that leads to life and hope. And even the first one, "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of slavery. Have no other gods before me." That's the beginning of that first commandment. Why on earth would Moses say, "I want you to be a people that remember that commandment"? Do you remember who your God is? He is the one who led you out of slavery. See, again, we assume we're pursuing God, but the scripture is he is pursuing us, and he has released us from bondage. have no other God before me. Do you realize that this nation of Israel who had lived for slaves for years and years and years, and they were going into a land filled with idols and multiple gods? Why would the first commandment be, remember who your God is? For he's the one who has taken care of you. Don't allow any other God to come before your relationship with him. Do you think there's any wisdom for that in today's culture? When we have multiple gods all around us, be it success or wealth or busyness or technology or information, and God says, once again, remember who I am. I am the one that released you from slavery. Do you realize that he is still the bondage breaker? So I guess, will you obey? And I know for a lot of us, we live in a day and age that the idea of obedience and being submissive to anything is an upsetting idea. But Moses says, I want you to be a people that hear. I want you to be a people who follow. In other words, put into practice. And I want you to be a people who learn to obey. And just stop and think. Again, you need to go back to who your God is. Do you think that the creator and the designer and the maker of us, who knows what's right and good and life-giving, Do you think that he is going to cause you to do something that brings destruction or upsetness or harm? See, the truth of the matter is that we begin to mature when we begin to obey. I mean, just think, for if we truly believe that he is God and he is sovereign and he designed us and made us, do you think he'd come up with 10 rules that will bring life and hope, or do you think he'd do things that bring destruction and harm and brokenness? See, a lot of you still live with a God that would do something like that. Moses wanted to remind the people about how gracious and amazing his God is. So when there's barriers put there, they're there for a reason. Do you think that as God watches and notices all the things that bring harm and destruction in our lives, that he would be the one that would safeguard against that? So take the Ten Commandments. Go to chapter 5 this week. Write down the Ten Commandments and just say, Lord, show me your grace in the midst of them. Show me your heart so that I might be a person that hears and follows and obeys. If the Creator offers the best way for living, and I believe it is, why would you not hear? Why would you not follow? Why would you not obey? That would be my question for you today. What will you choose to do? Will you hear what God is trying to communicate to you even at this very moment? Will you hear enough that you begin to follow and apply what you know to be the truth? And in fact, let me put it this way. For some of you, don't even worry about it being the truth. Just go ahead and trust me in this and obey and see what happens. Will you obey so that you might experience living in a world where it's all about existence? Not only living in this world, but in the world to come. Let's pray. Father, as we come before you, we've moved through this scripture quickly, but the message is simple. And we confess to you so often as followers of Christ. We present a different gospel filled with rules and regulations. We say things like, I had nothing left but prayer. We think that the commands are meant to hinder us and harm us and tie us up instead of set us free. Lord, would you change us this summer and this Sunday very specially? Father, would you make us into a people that learn to hear? Not just sounds, but thoughts and concepts. And Father, would you give us the courage enough to follow, which we begin to apply what we hear, so our lives would be transformed, so that we might display you well and that we might live in this land that you have given us. And Lord, would you give us the courage to be obedient, because we truly believe that you are the designer and the creator and the engineer who knows what's best. You are not a God who is capricious or hard-hearted or tight-fisted, but you want to safeguard. You want to redeem. You want to restore. You don't want to see your kids harmed or hurt or broken. So, Lord, I ask right now in the name of Jesus that you might be mighty on your people's behalf, and you would allow us to see who you are and allow us to see whose we are. And we thank you for what you're going to do in Jesus' name. Amen.